the Mishnah and Kuf Kuf Aleph Man Aleph had three, second Mishnah had three heterim. Kofen Kara Gabi Aner Bishul Shel Vaitechas Bekora. Even though the Korah is a Dovashena Nito, the Pashup Shat the Mishnah is the like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak has a way to reinterpret it. The Tzarchlam Kombo, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. So the way we assume La Locha, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. That Kli Nito La Chilu Shalot the Tzarch Davan Nito. Well, at Tzaya Shel HaKotan, what does that refer to? The Gemara said it does mean Tzaya Shel HaKotan, because that's even the Yurche, the Kotan Mahachi, Daiti Alei. So that's considered Michael Behemoth. Just like Michael Odom is not Mukta, Michael Behemoth is not Mukta. So Tzaya Shel HaKotan is not Mukta. If you have a Behemoth around the house that would eat that Tzaya, if you don't have, it's not. If you have, let's say, some Michael Thielen, and you don't live near the park, so then just because elephants would eat it, doesn't make it that it's not muktzah. So if klovim are regilim to eat tzoa satino, so then it's considered Michael Bain. I don't know, by us I doubt it. People feed tzoa satino to the klovim. I doubt it. So as long as that would be muktzah.
This is something like
unusual.
What exactly is
what you want to feed it, what you can
physically digest, keep down, kill it, what exactly is the
darn? Well, on Pesach, in Kol HaTarkula, if you have food that nifsal me'achila sodom, then it's muta b'achila. That's long enough on the Pesach. Like it says, Nevela may not be eaten. And it says, Nageh v'shabashachet, it's not about chol ha'mochol ha'nochol. So the Gemara is medayik. This a machleik of satanoim. We pass like Rav Shimon. Machleik of Shimon Rav Yudah. So we pass like Rav Shimon that nevela haruya leger kui nevela. Nevela shel ena ruya leger ena kui nevela. If it's not roy lachilas hager, ger means ger toshav, not a ger tzav. Ger tzav is not allowed to eat any non kosher food. It means a ger toshav anachris. What does it mean? Ena roy lachila. Ena roy lachila over there. Ena roy lachila means, if you put it on the table and you won't tell him what it is. If he would start to eat it, would he stop in the middle? Right, so that's a machlekes achran. We pass on that called ein roi l'achila sodas. Even though it tastes delicious. Even though it tastes delicious. So by kol ha'tarakula, it depends on roi l'achila Odom, and by Chometz, the Pesach, it depends on Rai Lachilas HaKelim. That's a discussion in the Mishnah. Why did the din change for Pesach? Why isn't it the same as Kol HaKelim? So that's a discussion. The Ravid and Iran and the Prima Godim and the Chazanish, it's a discussion. Why did the din change all of a sudden? But that's what the Gemara says. So Roy Lachilas Odom versus any Roy Lachilas Odom means you don't tell them what it is. You put it on the table, because Gemara has a discussion about Merag Laim Shel Chamor, whether that's considered roi l'achilas sodom or not. So if you tell someone what it is, of course he's not going to want to drink it. If you don't say what it is, just put it on the table in a wedding with ice cubes, and you see if someone's going to say, see if they start to drink it, will they stop in the middle or will they continue to drink it? They'll think that it's a little strange flavor. So that's how you determine roi l'achilas sodom. Roi l'achilas hakelev also means you give it to a dog and you see if he eats it. If he eats it, then it's called roi l'achilas hakelev. If it's very tasty but it's poisonous, he's going to die, then it's considered, then it's a machlekes aposkim. The Sechemet quotes this machlekes, and the majority assume that if it has poison in it, then it's called ein roi l'achilas odom and ein roi l'achilas hakelev. I don't know, benegeya to muktzeh, I don't know if it really if it's really the same as I don't think it's the same as when you get to Macholas Asur. Here it depends, is it Oymed Lachilo Sodom? Is it Oymed Lachilo Sakela? Let's say you have, we discussed raw potatoes on Shabbos. So it's Roy Lachilo Sakela. Behemoths eat raw potatoes. But we don't plan to feed it to the behemoths. We plan to feed it to another. So that would be, we assume that that's considered Mukta. On Yontav it wouldn't be Mukta because you're permitted to cook it and make it into a Roy Lachilo. But on Shabbos, when you're not allowed to cook it, so then raw potatoes are considered muktzah mamish. Unless you live on a farm, and there's a good chance that you'll feed it to the dog. But just because it's theoretically roi l'achilas hakelev, it's not enough to make it into oichel, that it should be non-muktzah. It has to be really oimed l'achilas hakelev.
What is it going to help you?
It'll make them sick.
if we distinguish between junk food and healthy food, that's what we're eating right now.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. You're asking in Kashrus. Is that called Roy Lachilas Akel? Is that called Ainu Roy Lachilas Akel? Roy Lachilas Akel, Ainu Roy Lachilas Akel. So this will get a little bit sick, he's not going to die. Probably also called Ainu Roy Lachilas Akel. But for Shabbos purposes, it has to be Oymed Lachilas Akel. Oymed Lachilas Akel. So Nachum also, what's the second din? Valatzayel Shalakoton. So the Gemara says that the Zman HaGemara was apparently a common practice to feed Tzayas HaTzinok. So they love him. So therefore, it's not mukta. I let it be noila gomor. The tzoya came out of the baby's body on Shabbos. Let it be noila gomor. It wasn't mukham about yom. So that's what the Gemara says. No, it's the same as nahoras hamoshkim and mayonas hanovim, that the water is not befaneinu at all. Avagat the miyas malhavi kamon. The water wasn't befaneinu at all. So there clearly was no hakana. So the Gemara says, no, that's considered a good achana, because everybody knows that it's going to come tomorrow. So since they know that the water is on its way, and therefore you say they can't have achana, even the tzara satinok also, if that's the practice that you feed it to the dogs, then it's called, it's not called nela gomer, then I say that it is muchan lachilos avein. So then it wouldn't be mukts at all. So the Mishnah must be talking about it's either tzara satinok or tzara satinok in a community, but that is not the practice, that they don't feed it, like today, we throw out the tzoyas atinik, we don't feed it to the dog. There is a machleka satanoim, Reb Shimon, Reb Yudit, that's what we're going to learn when we get to Kiro, regarding Oichlim and Kelim. They all hold that Muslim and Kalim have to have achonim in Bod Yom. If he doesn't have achonim in Bod Yom, then it's also bachilim. They just argue who's achonim does it have to have. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you need achonim sabayim. You have to have either you clearly have in mind to eat the cholent, the chalos, the wine, the itzel, the fish, the soup. This for sure you have in mind to eat. Or if you would ask him on Erev Shabbos, you think you'll eat from the matzahs, they say maybe. So whatever, even if he didn't give it any thought at all, but whatever he has in the kitchen, and there is an umdir in the mukhaf, that he may want to eat it on Shabbos, that's considered that yabachanas ha-gavra. That's Reb Yudah's opinion. Reb Shimon apparently holds that you don't need achanas ha-gavra. Apparently Reb Shimon holds it all, lo'echlam ha-mukhan me'aleihim. Yeah, so Lecharia, you're pointing out that if we pass like Reb Shimon, the Gemara says we pass like Reb Shimon, then Mechlal, there's no riot to anything over here. How do you see over here? How do you see over here that Nehoras HaMoshchem? Nehoras HaMoshchem will be a chidush in Hilchus Nichse Hefke Koinim Shvisa. So here it's not Koinim Shvisa because it's midi denied. It's moving around, so it's not Koinim Shvisa. But Rashi said it tells you a double chidush. The first chidush is midi denied. The second chidush is that even though it should have been mukta, it's not. Afagaf meyes malavi kamon kiv nochay ba'achi daite alayu. So you're saying that's only good alibi the Reb Yudah. Requires achanas agavra. So you see over here, this is considered achanas agavra because it's midah diurchayu. Achanami by the tzoras hatinek is also midah diurchayu. But what if you hold like Reb Shimon? The Gemara says we talk like Reb Shimon at least on Shabbos. On Yontif there's a machlekes. The Gemara seems to say on the first daf in Beitza that on Shabbos we talk like Reb Shimon that muktzah, in order to remove the status of muktzah, you don't need achanas agavra. I say all lechlam and all kelim amucham me'aleihim. As opposed to Yontif, the Gemara says the simple reading of the Mishnah is that halacha is kireb Yudah. So that's how the Rambam, that's how the Mechaber passes. On Yontif, he passes like Reb Yudah. So if he passes like Reb Yudah on Yontif, then that you need achanas abaylam. So everything that Rashi says over here fits in. Shabbos, what if you hold like Reb Shimon on Shabbos and on Yontif? The Ramah passes like Reb Shimon. Ramah passes like the Rosh, the elder Beitzer who passes like Reb Shimon Bein, the Shabbos Bein, the Yontif. It's only machma one aspect of muktzah. One detail of Muktzah and Yontif were a little bit more machman on Shabbos, but the basic fundamental issue of Reb Yudah Reb Shimon, so the Ramah holds that there's no difference Shabbos and Yontif, and he holds that even on Yontif you don't need Beim Shabbos Beim Yontif, you don't need Achanas Abaylam. So how would you word this? So what does the Gemara say? V'chitem galachaz yilei miyatzmo v'hatanya. The Gemara proves from here. What do they prove from here? It means Also, it's a good proof. If you're all like Rab Shimon, so you word the proof differently. See, Rashi is writing within Rab Yudah's language. So he writes, come on, it wasn't the water, it wasn't Lefaneinu. So what was the Gemara proving from the Braise? We assume that it's also included in the Umdin and the Muchach. If you would ask him on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yantav, do you think you want to drink water? They'll say, yeah, I know that the Amas Amayim, I know the river passes by. I may want to take some of that water. Either water is hundreds of miles away, Bilel Shabbos, it doesn't matter. Kevin Rechai Behochi Daite Alei, so Yabachonis Agavra, Hanami, but it's Torah Tatinoi, Kevin Duch Adikot Mochi Daite Alei. The Rashi words it, Daite Alei, that's within Reb Yudah. If you say Aloha Kerev Shimon, you can also say the same thing. But also, if you say, all Ochlem and all Kelem Amuchan Be'aleihem, but that's only if the thing is Bo'elom. But if it's a Noilat Gomor, that even Reb Shimon agrees. That's the Gemara in the first daf in Beitza. If you have a case that's Noilat Gomor, you can't say that the Ochel of the Kli is Mucham Be'elom and Bo'yom. It didn't exist on Erev Shabbos El Yom. So what if the thing existed in a different form? You see, by Tzoyas HaKlovim, that's what it is. By Tzoyas HaTinuk, that's what it is. It was the baby ate food on before Shabbos. And the food is in his stomach and it's getting digested. Then Shabbos afternoon, it's going to come out in the form of tzoya. So that's the question: should I consider that noila gomer and say that it had no hachana at all? Even if you all do echlam amuchan mealei and Michael Bayim is mucham me'elav, how can you say this mucham me'elav if it didn't exist in this form on erev Shabbos? So the Gemara is pushing to say that that's okay. Kevin duchi b'hachi, it's not considered noila gomer. But that's the question of Sosa: what's the right from the Haras HaMoshchim? It was water over there. The way Rashi words it is good, the Tushtel is good, because you need, Rashi's wording it within, using the terminology of Rav Yudah, that you to remove the status of Muktze, you need Achonas Agavra, so you need Daite Ilave, Daite Alayu. Kevin Durche Behachi, Daite Alayu. Here it's also Daite Alayu. But if you hold like Rav Shimon, that's how we paskin. You hold like Rav Shimon on Shabbos, and there are more paskins like Rav Shimon even on Yontif, that you never need Daite Alayu, you never need Das Agavra. You don't need hachonas habaylam at all. You don't need hachonas hagavra. You say all those from a kelim amucham me'alem. Unless it came into existence in the middle of Shabbos, the neilat gomer, you can't say that it's mucham me'elov mebogyom. So then you understand what the Gemara is driving at by the tzoyas hatinoik. But there's no raya from the Haras HaMoshchim. How do you see from the Haras HaMoshchim it existed as water in the other location? So it says mucham me'elov over there. What do you have to have? It should be mucham me'elov over here. Unless you need hachonas habaylam. That's taka good kasha. The whole hemshech hagmar, the way Rashi interprets it, pashup shat, they brought a tushtel. But Tanya make a tushtel, just like over there, so too over here. How do you see just like so too? That tushtel only makes sense. I'll leave it to Rav Yudah, who says that you need achanas habalim. And if you're like Rav Shimon, the hashvo is a very difficult hashvo. I don't know. That is a good kasha. You're like Rav Shimon, that's a very good kasha. Let's say the Gemara is going, I'll leave it Rav Yudah. We don't pass like Rav Yudah. I don't know. So Nachamal, so what was the second din in the Mishnah is less of a chiddush than the first din. The first din, the Korah, is a davashein anita. So we don't accept the opinion of Rav Yitzchok and Daf Mem Gimel. We hold the Kli is nital. I feel it's a davashein anita. So the first line in the Mishnah tells me that. That a kli may be nital, I feel about Torah Tovah Shein Nital. I'm moving a kaira shal cheres to protect the korah, and the korah is a Tovah Shein Nital. The korah is never handled at all. It sits there the whole time. It's attached to the building. So the korah is for sure moved. The second line in the Mishnah that you're allowed to handle a kli to cover over the tzoya in order to protect the baby. The baby is a Tovah HaNital. Like we said yesterday, the name of the Ozarua. Amotzi chametz b'toch beis of the regal. If someone finds chametz in his house on Yantiv, the kof all of us are kli, and they say it's the kasha. Why don't they quote that right to show that Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong? You see that a kli is nital l'tzorach mukta l'tzorach hachomet b'pes l'dosa mano. So it's mukta. Trey from the veil is not mukta. It's royal achilos habhema. It's Michael Behema. Hachomet b'pes is mukta l'dosa b'achilos habano. So the Tzitzis says that kasha. Why don't they quote that right to demonstrate that Rabbi Yitzchak's idea is wrong? So the Taisa gives an answer. So Taisa says, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak anyway, so there's no need to attack him with five atom bombs. They shot him to death. They killed Rabbi Yitzchak. So what do you have to dig his grave deeper? Against Rabbi Yitzchak. And the Ozerura says, no, it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yitzchak at all. The purpose of covering over the chametz is to protect the people from eating the chametz, not to protect the chametz. So that's Lesorot Dovra Nikon. So the way the Ozerura pointed out, the second line in the Mishnah is Ben, less of a chiddush than the first one. You're allowed to take, you're allowed to handle a kairo to cover over tzoya to protect. For what purpose? To protect the tzoya? No, to protect the peanut. So that's less of a chiddush than the first line. The first line is the greater chiddush. That you're permitted to handle a kli nital afilu letzar dova sheina nital. So once you have the first line, what do you need the second line? I don't know. Zuvei in tzarech loy mazu. And then the third line in the Mishnah was vala akrav shalot tishach. That's already a chiddush in a different area. That's not a chiddush in tiltul kli shemalach dalehetar. That's a chiddush in hilchas tzeda. You have an akrav and you put on a kli and you trap it. So you've done tzeda. It says in the Mishnah you're permitted to cover it over shalot tishach. Why is it taka muta? What is the taka suffix sakana? If there's a suffix sakana, of course you're allowed to do whatever is necessary. You can certainly even violate a malacha deraisa. No, the Mishnah means that there's no suffix sakana. And nonetheless, since Seder Sa'akrov is only a malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa, because it doesn't claim to use the dead akrov, after Shabbat is going to kill it, and he's not going to use the dead akrov, he's going to throw it in the garbage. So the Seder, such an akrov, is a malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa, which to begin with, Reb Yudah holds is only machlek Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon. So Reb Yudah holds that it's only Nisa de Rabbanon. So that's what the Mishnah Reb Shimon holds. Reb Shimon holds malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa is only Nisa de Rabbanon. So since it's only the Rabbanon, so the makom. If you're afraid that it's going to bite, even if it bites, it's not going to kill. It's going to harm him. It's going to be unpleasant. He's going to have pain from it. So that's also called b'makom choyle shem b'sakana. So we allow malachim shem tzvicha l'gufa b'makom choyle shem b'sakana. That's what the, so the third line in the Mishnah really has nothing to do with the first two lines. The first two lines are achidish within hilchas tiltul kelim. The kli nita letzorech dovish eina nita. The first line is that chiddush. Second line is less of a chiddush. Maybe that's the chiddush of the second line. That even if it doesn't read straight, even if you chiddush of the second line, even if you would have held like Rabbi Yitzchak, you would have been mutter. What do you mean? But the Mishnah probably assumes not like Rabbi Yitzchak says. Not telling you a chiddush within Rabbi Yitzchak. If he's a taisa, we don't accept his opinion. And the third line is a chiddush in Hilchas Tzeda. Okay. So then the Gemara goes into this discussion. Is that really true? Is that really so that you say since Seidas mosquitoes is ain't tzvicha legufa, I'm not going to use the dead mosquitoes and Seidas bees, the bees are going to bite, so I take usually on sukkahs the bees come, the shpizim come to the sukkah, so you take a cup and you put the cup on, you invert a cup on top of the bee, you trap the bee, so that's the malach of Seidas. So is it permissible? So the Gemara says, well, it's going to be a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. So malacha shein tzvicha legufa is asma derabbana. So that's the question. If the makom chayel shein b'sakana will make a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. So this is not, he's not that he's a chayel shein b'sakana and this is going to cure him. Usually what it means, a person is a chayel shein b'sakana and this malacha shein tzvicha legufa is going to cure him. It's not that it's going to cure him. It's going to prevent him from becoming a chayel shein b'sakana. Because if he's going to get bitten by the bee, he's going to have a whole eisek. So this is to prevent them. So Taka, are you permitted to do that? Do you say that you're permitted to do tzeda on any animal that's annoying in order to prevent it from biting you, even though you know it's not gonna be a suffix sakan at all? Is that permissible? So Tais with the Ri has a different shot in the Gemara from Rashi. Most of the Rishonim learn like Rashi. The Ri has a different shot than the Gemara. The last four lines, Nira Liri Vechem Pirish Ben Hananel, has all different shot. He learns that this is a machlokes in the Gemara, and therefore he thinks halacha lamaisa he should be machmash. Ein lahakal ker b'shulman Levi, you shouldn't be meikal like Rabbi Shimon Levi says. Kol amazikim nerogim b'shabbes, you're permitted to kill any animals on Shabbos because it's an ein tzvicha l'gufa to begin with, and it's like b'makom chodesh ein b'sakana to protect yourself. There's no sakana that he's going to kill. But it's like a chodesh ein b'sakana to protect itself from getting harmed, from being in pain of the bite. So the Ri Bala Teis wants to say that we should not pass on like Rabbi Shimon Levi. We should pass on like the other Amoraim. This is the way he interpreted the Gemara. He interprets that this is the machlokes Amoraim. Yeah, most of the Rishonim learn like Rashi that it's not true. That it never was a machlokes. That's what Teis says. Again, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol HaMazikim Ne'erogim B'Shabbos, what does it mean? Kol HaMazikim Ne'erogim. So Pasha Pshat is, because Ein Tzvicha L'Gufo, so to prevent yourself from getting bitten, that's considered like a Chodesh Ein B'Sakon. Master Rabbi Yosef, how can it be? I have a brisa that says only Chamisha Ne'erogim B'Shabbos. We're only allowed to kill five animals on Shabbos. Ve'eluhem. And he lists up zvuv, a certain sirah, a certain akrav, a certain nochosh, and a kelev shaita b'chol makom. So only five. So how does Rabbi Shimon Levi say kol amazikim ne'erogim b'Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, maybe you tell me that the Rabbi Shimon Levi is according to one opinion, and the Brisa Rabbi Yosef is another opinion. So the Gemara says it can't be. Mani, whose opinion are you dealing with? Ilayim Rabbi Yude, hama v'loch hashem tzirich l'guf, v'chayiv aleho. So you shouldn't be matam anything. Must be Aliba the Reb Shimon. That ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, is only the Rabbanon. And you only make on these five. So how does Reb Shimon Levi say, make on everything? Hani hu d'shori, only these five are mutter. Achrini loy, so it's Akasha. Amar Rab Yirmiya, ma leim lan tam tares, idum le mishabeshti, taka gut Akasha. Maybe the Bryce of Rab Yosef is just a misprint. Amar Rab Yosef, so Rab Yosef is one who presented the Bryce. What do you mean? I'm not masnina, no. No, I have a tradition that this Bryce is correct. And I asked the same kasha that you asked via Sivnalo, and I asked the kasha, how does it jive with Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's memory? He says he can kill kol amazikim, so zain tzvicha l'gufa, so b'mekel, he considered this like mokom chodesh em b'sakon. And here the brisa that I quote, that I think is an authentic brisa, says, there's only a kula to kill the five animals. So he says, this was kasha, it was bothering me also, but no, mataritznalo, and I answered the kasha's followers, berotzu acharav adivri hakol. What does that mean? Berotzu acharav. The Divrei Hakol. It is the big machlokes Rishonim how to read it. So Rashi learns Hamisha Nerogim. Rashi learns that what? Kol Amazikim Nerogim B'Shabbos. That's Birotz Machlo V'Divrei Hakol. If you have an animal chasing you after, you're not an expert on animals in the zoo. You don't know which ones can kill and which ones can't kill. So as far as the layman is concerned, whatever he sees, Kol Amazikim Birotz Machlo, they're chasing after him. So he's going to be petrified that they're going to kill him. So this, from his perspective, it's a suffix hakana berotz machrov. So the divrei hakol has nothing. Rabbi Shimon Levi memory has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda. With ein tzvicha l'gufa is deraisa derabbana. Even if it's a malacha deraisa, but berotz machrov, so it's a suffix hakana. The suffix hakana, you have to do what you have to do. You have to kill him. And the braisa that Rabbi Yosef presents chamisha nerogim b'shabbos ve'elohim only these five. That's talking about a case be'ein berotz machrov. They're not chasing after them. So there's no heter at all up pikuach nefesh. The only heter is it's an ein tzvicha l'gufa. So mamakom chadosh em b'sakana v'mekel an ein tzvicha l'gufa. That's how Rashi reads. And Tosfos raised everything for kill. Tosfos main kasha, Tosfos has a lot of kasha. All the kashas are good. One of the kashas that they point out is that grammatically the Gemara doesn't read straight according to Rashi. Because Rav Yosef says, ano masnin olo, I was the one who presented this braisa. It says, Moshe Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was one who presented the Braisa. I have a tradition of the reading in this Braisa, that it is correct. We Yosef Nalo, and I asked the Kasha on the Braisa, but I'm a Taritz Nalo, and I answered the Kasha on the Braisa. So Pashup Shat says, Pashup Shat in Rav Yosef is that he's interpreting the Braisa, Chamisha Nerogim Berotzim Achrov. And Rashi today's everything Faker. Rabbi Shoma Levi's memory is Rotzim Achrov. And it's Divrei Hakol. And the Brice is Be'en Ratzim Acharov, and only Aliba the Reb Shimon. So that's what prompted Tosfos to learn Shat Faker from Rashi. But most of the Rishonim seem to learn like Rashi. Most of the Rishonim learn like Rashi. The Reb Shimon Levi's memory goes on Ratzim Acharov Divrei Hakol, and the Brice goes Be'en Ratzim Acharov. Tani Tana Kamei de Rava Bar Ravuna. The word Tana sometimes means a Tana, like Rav Tarif and Rav Akiva, Rav Lozer and Azari. Sometimes means a person who recites braises. Like there's a pirush on the bottom of Tanakh that's called Rav Yosef Karo. Karo means he was a Bal Mikra, he was an expert on Tanakh. So the word Tana means a scholar, a person who lives in the days of the Amoraim, who's an expert on braises. He always recites braises. So Tani Tana Kamei de Rava Bar Ravuna. There was a Tana in the days of the Amoraim. His job was to recite brises. His practice was, they recited the following brises. He tells over the rabbi, I have a brisa that says that if one kills these wild, dangerous animals on Shabbos, the Hasidim would not be happy. So Rava Bar Avuna, the rabbi, is listening to the brises, so he says, garbage. ridiculous. Throw it out. He says, "V'olisem chassidim ein ruach hacham noichem menu." It's a chassid shel shtus. It doesn't make any sense. Your brisa, throw out your brisa. It doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos assumes that this Rava Bar Rav Huna was none other than the son of the famous Rav Huna. He was the son of Rav Huna. So he thinks that that reading in the brisa is nonsense. That the ein ruach chassidim noichem menu. That the chassidim hold that it's not right to kill a wild animal. Why? It's a perfect heter. Is only the Rabbanon, and what's a midas chassidus to get sick and to get bitten? There's no midas chassidus. But then the Gemara says the pliga de Rav Huna, this Rav Bar Rav Huna, this son disagrees with his father. That's how Tosfos presents it. Rav Bar Rav Huna is the son of Rav Huna. I don't know. You've got to look in a history book. Is that necessarily so? That he is the son of the famous Rav Huna? That's how Tosfos assumes the pliga de Rav Huna, the son is in disagreement with his own father. The Rav Huna chazir who gave the kakotl zibura. On one occasion, on Shabbos, Rav Huna saw somebody, a balabas, who killed a scorpion. On Malay, so he made a comment to him, "Where are your brain? Shalintinu lekulu? What do you think? You just succeeded in wiping out all the scorpions? There are another 5 billion scorpions in the world. What do you think you accomplished by killing this one scorpion? You didn't protect yourself any more than before. There's still another 5 billion. 4,999,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Tfun obviously thinks he's from the Chassidim. He holds Ein Ruach Chassidim Nechemen. You're not allowed to kill any one of these because you're not really accomplishing anything. And Rabbi Bar Funa thought that it doesn't make sense to say Ein Ruach Chassidim Nechemen. It's a proper thing to do. Then the Gemara tells a story. Darabon, the Brisa says, this is the story. Zdam Dalon Nechoshim, there's a Simen Men HaShamayim. If this happens, there's a Simen HaShamayim that X, Y, Z. And if that happens, if you die on Matzoh Yom Kippur, it's a good simen. It shows that you just got a kapara. The Gemara says, if you die on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a bit simen. It shows that you didn't get an opportunity to get a kapara. The Gemara has simon. If you die on a weekday, die on a Shabbos. If you die facing the people, with your back towards the people. So the Gemara has different simon. So this is also a simen. Tanu Rabbanan, there's dam lalon chashma akravim b'Shabbos v'harogon. If you're on Shabbos, al pi mikra, not that the guy went to the Bronx Zoo. He's walking in the street in the middle of Manhattan, all of a sudden, and the din is that you can kill it because ain't Sri Chalagufa, it's only the Rabbanus. You want to protect people from getting harmed, the Harab, and he kills it. So, the Yadu Hashin is Damna Lala Hargan. It's a Simon Hashemayim that that's what they wanted you to do. Rashi explains, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, the Gavalin Schusai, they Zakai, the Choybai, they Chayav. Sometimes when the Rabbanus Shalom wants some dirty work to be done in this world, he wants someone to be bumped off. He wants someone to be beaten up. So he has to suspend somebody's Tchir Chavshis and force that person, the Rebbe Shalom has to suspend someone's Tchir Chavshis and force him to do the dirty work for him. So instead of taking a tzaddik, whoever is going to do the dirty work is not to be held responsible for it because they suspended his Tchir Chavshis. It wasn't his fault. So the Gemara says, but usually what they're going to do Min HaShemayim is Megagolim Chobay Dechai. Well, Min HaShemayim, they want to punish someone. So they're going to suspend somebody's Bechira Chavshis to force that person lacking Bechira Chavshis for the moment. They're going to force him to cause harm to someone else or to kill someone else. So they're going to usually pick an evil person to do that. And the Gagalim Schusar De Zakai, when in Hashemayim they want something wonderful to happen in the world, and someone has to do it, so they're going to suspend somebody's Bechira Chavshis in order to cause them to do this wonderful act. And some of Min HaShemayim, they will do this Megavlam Chuzai Dezakim. They'll take a person who's a tzaddik, the fellow's a tzaddik anyway, and Min HaShemayim, they'll suspend his Tzir HaFshis to force him to do this mitzvah, these Maisim Tevim. So that's what the Brisa says over here, is B'yaduash and Izdam Nulo Lahorga. If on Shabbos it happened that you bumped into Nechash Makravim B'harogan and you killed them, so it's a sin Min HaShemayim, but they wanted you to gain this mitzvah. What if loy harogan? What if you bump into these scary, dangerous creatures, mysterious creatures, nechash makravim, and loy harogan, and you didn't kill them, and they went away on their own? So that also should be taken as a simon min hashamayim that viadush nizdam lahargoy v'nasan lois min hashamayim, and he was nitzol. That's like you say birchas hagaymol. When a person was in an accident and he almost got killed, so he says Birchas Hagamel. So he says Hagamel Hayovim Tovo Shigmalani Koltu. What does it mean? He praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though I'm guilty of an Avera and I really deserve the punishment, I was a chayv, I was guilty of Averas and I deserved an onish. Nonetheless, they showed me min HaShemayim that I deserved an onish. I almost got killed over here. But nonetheless, they were matzal me min HaShemayim. So that's the same over here. If nizdam nilo nechosh makram, which are usually harmful, v'loy harogan, and I tried to kill him and I couldn't, and they ran away and I was not harmed. So that's biyadush nizdam nilo hargov, and natzal nolas min HaShemayim. That's a simon min HaShemayim. If he should take it as a simon min HaShemayim, that he deserved an onish for something, and that he was nitzal. Okay. This is not a din. This belongs in the book of Simonim. The person, if this happens, you should understand that it's a simon for X, Y, Z. And if that happens, it's a simon for A, B, C. But also a simon in HaShemayim. Okay. Then the Gemara tells a story on one occasion. Yeah, then the Gemara said, when do you take it as a simon HaShemayim that you deserve to be punished? That's only Amrav Yechon ben Ishofen, but that's only if they're whistling, if they're hissing at me, and it looks like they're ready to bite, and then all of a sudden they run away. So then it's a simon min HaShemayim that I deserve an oinish. I really deserve to be punished, and I was nitzal. Then the Gemara says, "Om Arab Baba Barkan, if Hamachs Nochelach Beis Hamidrash." Once there was a snake in the Beis Medrash, and one of the Talmidim got up and he shot it. Sorry, he stepped and he trampled it to death. So the Rebbe, Omar Rebbe made a comment. Fagaboka Yotzibo. That snake got. The person who killed the snake is on the same type as the snake. Pogabo kayotzibo. The student who killed the snake, who succeeded in killing the snake, is himself a snake-like individual. So the question is, what did he say? Boilahu. What is he driving at? Pogabo kayotzibo, the shaparavad. Good for the Talmud that he killed the snake on Shabbos. Is he giving him a yashikoyach? It takes one to know one, and the Talmud killed the snake, and good for him. Although maybe he's saying negative, that he's a snake-like individual, and he did something improper by killing the snake on Shabbos. He should not have killed the snake on Shabbos. See, that's the shot that we had before. If the snake is hissing and it's a suffix, Sakon is going to bite. So Rashi says, of course it's a pikuach nefesh, of course he killed the snake. We're talking over here, the snake is not hissing, and it looks like it's not a sakonim. Looks very much it's not a sakonim. So it's just a shayla, the way Tais explains. A shayla, it's a malacha shein tzvich legufa. I don't plan to use the dead snake. Even if I kill it, I'm not going to use the dead snake. I'm going to leave it there. So malacha shein tzvich legufa is only there upon us. So maybe to kill a snake to prevent it from biting me or anybody else, maybe that's treated like a chodesh ein b'sakana. The malacha chodesh ein b'sakana, we permit you to violate the ein tzvich legufa. So that's what the Gemara is not sure about. That's the Gemara is asking. Did Rebbe, when he said Pogabok Yosef, did he mean to say the Shapirova, the student did good? Or did he mean Oiloi? Or he meant that it was improper, that the student acts in a snake-like fashion is not permissible? So the Gemara says, well, I can prove to you what the din is. The din is that you're allowed to kill snakes on Shabbos. They're the Feirish. Toshma, the Rabab, the Rabbi Barab, Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Yasra, Kila, the Bey, Rabbi Yanai, two Talmidim sitting on the porch. Kila is a porch. Rashi and other Mesich, they write, porch balaz. In Moed Katan, the word that appears a lot of places. So they were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yanai. Nofet milsim ibinayu. So from the, we're not sure whether it was A or B, whether Rabbi Eder, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, or Rabbi Zera. We're not sure which one of them, but one of the two asked the following question of the rabbi whose porch they were on. They came to visit this rabbi. Nofet milsim ibinayu. From amongst the two of them, somebody raised the following question: Bo minei mirabbi Yanai. So they presented a shayla of Rabbi Yana. Ma'al arig nechash makrav and b'shabbos is permissible. Amluhusa. He told them, "What do you mean? I even kill a tzira, which is less dangerous. I would certainly kill nechash makrav." So it's a raya lechor. So it's a raya that is mutter. We had before a shayla. Rebbe said to the student, "Pogabo kayotzibo." The student, there was once a snake in the Beis Medrash. Never happens. Snakes are in the forest. What are the snakes doing in the Beis Medrash? Once a snake in the Beis Medrash. And the Talmud killed the snake on Shabbos, and Rebbe made a comment, Pogabo Kayotzibo. So we're not sure what Rebbe was driving at. Was he praising the student that he did the right thing? Or was he saying a negative comment that it was not right that he killed the snake? So the Gemara says, Toshma. You see over here, they asked Rabbi Yana, shall I allow to kill snakes? And he says, what do you mean? I even kill a tzira. Of course I'm allowed to kill a snake. So he said, it sounds like you're saying that it's Heth Gomer. You're allowed to kill a snake. And they did the right thing. So the Gemara says, Dilma, maybe that story with Rabbi Yana, that he said, I would kill a tzira. So I would certainly kill a snake, nachash yakrav lekoshkein. Maybe that whole story, the koshkein, the snake with the nachash with the akrav, with the tzira, maybe that whole thing doesn't mean to go kill a snake, mamish biyadayim on Shabbos. To kill a snake, biyadayim on Shabbos, maybe is asr. And Rebbe said, talk about keyetzibo, that the student was did an improper practice, that he killed the snake on Shabbos. There was no sakona. It's not right. I bet this Rabbi Yanai said, I even kill a tzira. I would certainly kill nechosh makrav mitzal kavachomer. No, the Gemara says maybe dilma lefi tumoi. Maybe that's only the person's ability to kill the snake and the tzira, and the akravim is only lefi tumoi. What does that mean? Am Rav Yehuda, we have three members that lefi tumah is mutter. Rav Yehuda is an amor, Rav Sheshes and Rav Ketanah, all three amorim, and each one says such a statement. Roke, Dorsa Lefi Tumah. Rav Sheshi says, Nochash, Dorsa Lefi Tumah. And Rav Ketanah says, Akrav, Dorsa Lefi Tumah. So what does that mean? What does it mean, Lefi Tumah? See, this is a big machlekes harishayim. So Rashi has a very unusual pshat. Rashi translates the words Lefi Tumah that it's a dovashayim miskavah. If a fellow is walking in the street and he sees that there are bugs crawling all over the place, does he have to jump around the bug when he's walking? Does he have to hop around to make sure that he doesn't step on the bug? Because he knows he's going to step on the bug, they're going to get crushed to death. So that's the Tilus Nisham. You're not allowed to kill a bug on Shabbos. So when a person walks in the street, does he have to avoid stepping on the bug? And because it's about Tavados, he's going to kill a bug. Or would I say maybe it's a Dovah Shein Miskavin? Hi, Dovashen Miskavin, he's interested in walking from here to there. He's walking to shul, he's walking back home from shul. He's visiting a friend on Shabbat, obviously he wants to walk from one place to the other, and then he's stepping on the bugs, they may or may not get killed. He's not paying attention. You have some bugs, it's hard to say, they may or may not get killed on bigger animals, on a nochash, on an akrov, they can say. He's going to walk, he's not going to pay attention when he walks on. He may be walking on some animals, they may get crippled, they may get killed, he may avoid all the animals, he's just not looking on the ground. He's looking this way. So that's the din. He's permitted to walk lefi tumah. He's permitted to walk and mind his own business, and whatever happens, happens. They may get killed, may not get killed. It's provided that there's no psik reshe, so then dovashenim is kabin is muta. That's how Rashi translates. Rashi translates the word lefi tumah. Lo shi amr olavi hargen lehedyo, not that you kill the nachosh and the akrof and the tzira explicitly lehedyo. Eli, he just minds his own business. And Dovashenim is Kabin is Mutter. So then Rashi faked Akasha. Dovashenim is Kabin is Machlekes Satanoim. Only Rav Shimon holds Mutter. According to Rav Yehuda, it's Asr. So if you hold Dovashenim is Kabin, if you hold like Rav Yehuda, that Dovashenim is Kabin is Asr, how do you understand the members of the Amoraim here? No, it's not such a strong Kasha. You can say all the three Amoraim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Sheshes, and Rav Ketanah, all pass like Rav Shimon. The Dovashenim is Kabin is Mutter. The Rashi is not satisfied with that. Rashi wants to make it that all of them could hold like Rav Shimon and all like Rav Yehuda. But if you hold like Rav Yehuda, Dov Shem is Kabin is Achasa. So what's the heter over here, Lefi Tumai? The Rashi answers, no, Dov Shem is Kabin, the Rav Yehuda is only also in the Rabbanon. It's not an Issa Darais. Therefore, Vidya Mazikim, Legoz the Rabbanon, Hey Mom and Hey Mom, to Mok and Mazikim. Yeah. Taisus said before that was a machlekes amaroyim. If you hold like Reb Shimon that ain't tzvicha legufa is only the rabbanon, so do you say therefore the makom azikin it's tam mutter because we treated it always like a chodesh emes hakana, or not? So Taisus wants to push that the psak halacha is lahachmir, that you're not allowed to kill outright. No. Dov Shem Skaven is hetter gomer. Dov Shem Skaven is hetter gomer. If you're like Rav Shimon, ain't tzricha legufa is the Rabbanon. Oh, so that's the Shaila. Rashi says, you could have said that all three Amarim, Rav Yehuda, Rav Sheshes, Rav Ketanah, the way Rashi reads Lefi Tumah, no one agrees with Rashi on the Lefi Tumah. Rashi translates Lefi Tumah, what it means is, you're allowed to walk, mind your own business, and ignore whether you're killing an animal or you're not killing an animal. You're stepping on rope. By your stepping on rope, they didn't have paved streets. They had dirt streets. So if you're stepping on rock, he may be pushing in the rock into the ground and be mashva gumas. With a little bit of liquid of rope, he may cause a mashva gumas over there. Maybe yeah, maybe no, but it's not a secretion, it's just a dobshen miskaven. So Rashi said, that's okay. Dobshen miskaven is mutter. Okay. So if you hold like Rav Shimon, it's good, nicha. All the three Amorim are passing like Rav Shimon. Rashi's pushing, and even if you hold like Rav Yehuda, that dobshen miskaven is also, you can still be makel over here. How can it be? So Rashi says, because Rav Yehuda holds dobshen miskaven is also, it's only also in the Rabbanon. So therefore, biki hai gavne, linya mazikim, Loi gozer. Wait a minute. Linya mazikim only explains two out of the three members. Doesn't explain rob darsa lefi tumah. Explains nochash darsa lefi tumah and akrav darsa lefi tumah. Since it's mazikim, so dabshen miskaven the chacham. The old din of dabshen miskaven is only with the rabbanon. The rabbi Yehuda that it's us. It's only us with the rabbanon. So you're not mechuyif to be so careful. If it's mazikim, so they left it on the din derais. What exactly does Rashi mean? Dov Shem Miskavle Rav Yehuda Zerabon. So Rabbi Kevega Tech and Zon is Tosfos before. Nemala from a base. We didn't learn Kira yet, but we already referred to that Tosfos quite a few times. The Tosfos, the gigantic Tosfos, Mecham. So they have a line in the middle where they write a distinction. Rabbi Kevega sounds like he's equating Rashi and over there. Nemala from a base, Rabbi Kevega refers it to this Rashi. He's Mitzayin, Nemala from a base, to look in this Rashi. Ayin Rashi in the Kaman, Kuf Chalfal from a base. So Rabbi Kevega sounds like he understood Rashi saying the same as Tosfos, that Rabbi Yehuda's shita Dovashen and Miskaven Oster and Kola Terakula Tanisa Deraisa. And on Shabbos, Dovashen and Miskaven is only Asam Derabbanon. Why did they Asam Derabbanon on Shabbos? So Tosfos writes in Yuma, that big Tosfos, Lamed Vav, that's the only Tosfos we did the whole year in Yuma. That's gigantic. There's so much to say. Every line is important there. So Tosfos explained it, that since Dovashen and Miskaven, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is also in Kol Atar Kulam and Atar. It's only Mutar in Hilchot Shabbos because of a lack of Malachas Malshevet. So Kedei Lahashu Shabbos Lushar Kol Atar Kula. So they introduced the Nisa Derabbanon on a Dov Sheinu Miskaven. That's what Tosfos writes. The Dov Sheinu Miskaven of Rabbi Yehuda is usually a Nisa Deraisa and all other Isurim. Where do you have Dov Sheinu Miskaven and another Isur? Where else? We're learning Masechah Shabbos this year. So we're talking everything about Malachas Shabbos. But the din of Dov Sheinu Miskaven, Machlekes Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda applies in Kol Atar Kula. Where do you have it? By wearing shatnez, the Gemara has. A person is going to carry shatnez clothing on his back in the street and transport it from one store to the other, and he's not sure whether it's chilly outside and this is going to keep him warm, or it's a warm day and he doesn't really need this. He doesn't know, because halah of shatnez is only forbidden. It's only also if it's halah sheyesh bo hanah, if he's going to get hanah. So he goes out carrying this stuff in the street, thinking he's going to be a tirchet. That's why they pay him. He's a schlepper. He moves clothing from one store to the other. He moves racks back and forth in clothing. Sure. He works for a clothing store. He doesn't plan to get hanor from the levisha. So that's the davar sheni miskaven, the Gemara says. So according to Rav Shimon, davar sheni miskaven mutar. According to Rav Yehuda, davar sheni miskaven is also. So there, Rav Yehuda would say davar sheni miskaven is also. And after, what else do we have? This is quoted the Gemara in Drachim. Someone donates yayin. Not that it's yayin that comes in conjunction with a carbon. Minchas miniskeyim. Minchas nesachim. Minchas nesachim means when you bring a mincha and nesach in conjunction with a carbon. No, the guy donates a bottle of wine. That's the whole carbon is going to be wine. So if you bring a carbon and you burn the chelav on the mizbeach, you do this because Satan burn the chelav on the mizbeach. So what do you do with the wine? So you pour it down the shisa. Because there is something that's burnt on the mizbeach. There's an isha. Something the chalavim are burnt on the mizbeach. And the dam is nizrak on the mizbeach. But if you donate a bottle of wine, so you're going to pour the whole bottle of wine down the sheet, and so nothing was carved on top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says in the end of Zrachim that the Sechel dictates that in such a case, if the whole donation that he's giving is a bottle of wine, it's not wine in conjunction with the carbon. So he has to be mevi'a mizalfa gabihu ishim. He has to bring the wine, the coin, and the coin has to sprinkle the wine on top of the flames that should evaporate, it should burn it. Evaporate the wine and the smoke should go up to heaven. You have to have some haktor. If you don't have any haktor, so where is there a maton? Where is there a carbon? If you bring a carbon of wine, you don't pour it down the sheath. That's how the Gemara says. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute. You're going to sprinkle the wine, mizalfa. Mizalfa means you sprinkle it on the flames on top of the mizbeach. It's going to extinguish the flame on the mizbeach. That's an Easter. You get malchus for that. But the Gemara says you should do it the tip and dakin. So therefore, it's a double shenim miskaven, and it's not going to be a psikresha. If you're going to take a bottle of wine and pour it on the flames, it's going to extinguish the flames, and it's not going to get evaporated either. It's not going to work. It's not going to get evaporated, and you'll be a violation of lo sichbe. So the Gemara says, no, you should be mezalfo the tipen dakos. You should sprinkle it. That's how the Gemara's lashon is. Amisnad of yayim evio umezalfo al gabi huishim. So once you mezalf it, then it may or may not extinguish the flame. So that's, then it's the dovish enim miskaven. So dovish enim miskaven is machlekes of yud eripshin. You have other cases also. You call it terkula. The Tosis writes the memalzum base. The Reb Yudah. We had another case. Yeah, the other case, one who's chotech baheres, one who's chotech baheres. They call the moil that he should do a bris on a baby. He says he's about to say the bracha. He sees that there's a negat tzaras over there. He does not that the eskashayla of the koyanim. He not the eskashayla. Maybe the eskashayla and the koyim paskin that it's a negat tzar. Then you're allowed to kavurah. He does not. Maybe they didn't eskashayla. He does not. So the Gemara calls that a dovah sheinim miskaven. He knows he's doing. He's performing a bris milah. He doesn't know whether he's now in violation of Hishamer l'cha b'negat zaras. Hishamer pen v'yal is a loy sesim. So he doesn't know. Maybe he's in violation of choytech baheres. So the Gemara says it's muta. It's a dovish enim miskaven. If you all like Reb Yudah, if you all like Reb Shimon, dovish enim miskaven is muta. If you all like Reb Yudah, dovish enim miskaven is us. So the Gemara says the machleks of Shimon Reb Yudah is in kol ha'tarakul. So again, so Tesis claims that all over in Kol HaTarakula Rabbi Yudah holds Dovah Shem Miskaven is also in HaTorah. On Shabbos he's machmeh with the Rabbanon Kedei Lahashu Shabbos L'shar Kol HaTarakula. So he's machmeh with the Rabbanon. In HaTorah Dovah Shem Miskaven has to be mutar on Shabbos even Alibi Rabbi Yudah because it's lacking Malachas Mashevet. But with the Rabbanon he asks it, Rabbi Yudah asks it Kedei Lahashu Shabbos L'shar Kol HaTarakula. So Rabbi Kevege writes on this Rashi on Kuf Chafal HaMabeis, he's mitzayin to that Tesis, and on the Tesis he's mitzayin the Rashi. Sounds very much that he's saying that Rashi and Tosis are saying the same thing. That's what some time that's not necessarily so. It could be that Rashi means to say that the whole Rabbi Yudah Shita is always only Midrabban. Tosis says Rabbi Yudah Shita and Kol HaTarakula Dov Shenim Miskaven is also awesome in HaTorah. And in Shabbos they machriach that it's only awesome Midrabban. That was their girsa in the Gemara in Yuma and Daflam and Hay. That was their girsa. The Dovah Shenim Miskaven Osir on Shabbos is only Osir Midirabbanan. Mutam and Atar and Osir Midirabbanan. Unlike a normal Dovah Shenim Miskaven, which is an Isam and Atar. But it could be that Rashi is driving in a different thing. See, because Rashi didn't have Tosis Girsa there in Yuma. Tosis had the Girsa in Yuma. The Dovah Shenim Miskaven on Shabbos and Yontif, the worst it could be is only Midirabbanan. Kol HaTarakul is there, Isa. On Shabbos Yontif, it's only Midirabbanan. Ain't Shavuz Bamigdash. Rashi had a whole different reading, a whole different gears, a different story. So according to Rashi, it could well be that he holds that Rabbi Yudah Shita Dovah Shenim Miskaven is awesome and Kol HaTarakula is only awesome in the Rabbah. Where was the only place we saw that it was awesome in HaTorah? The only place was really on Kuf Lamed Gimel. No. On the Chaytach Baheres. So that was really a Havamin in the Gemara, and the Gemara backs up from that. The Gemara originally thought, if you'll recall that sugya, the Gemara originally thought that if I do a pula hamuteres and it's a psikreshe that it's going to bring him out of pula ha'asura. The Gemara thought that's also called davish enim miskaven, and that's a machlekes Rav Yudah and Rav Shimon. Rav Yudah hold that that's also in HaTorah, and Rav Shimon would hold that that's muta. So the Gemara said, "What are you talking about? That's a psikreshe. Everybody holds it's also in HaTorah." The Gemara originally thought that if I do a pula hamuteres, which bevados will lead to a pula hasura, it's a psikreshi of leading to a pula hasura. He originally thought that's called davar shenim miskaven, and that's a machlekes Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon holds mutter, and Rabbi Yudah holds that that's an isa deraisa. That is correct. That is an isa. Rabbi Yudah holds that's an isa deraisa. That is true. That is an isa deraisa. That's a psikreshi. It's not only is it true aliva the Reb Yudah, true aliva the Reb Shimon. Abai v'rava dam chavai. Why did Reb Shimon say gracious of the Yamas? Reb Shimon also is masking that it's an isa deraisa. The real truth of the matter, the only Gemara that's very explicit that Dovah Shenim is kaven alibi Reb Yudah is an isa deraisa is only this Havamin of Kuf Lamed Gimel, which is first of all rejected, and secondly, the Havamin was a mistake, and Havamin they thought that a psikreshi is also Dovah Shenim is kaven. So of course a psikreshi is an isa deraisa. What if you have a real Dovah Shenim Miskaven? So it could be that Rashi is saying a different story. Could be there's not, he's not identical with his Tosfos. Could be, he means to say Rabbi Yehuda's whole din that Dovish Einim is Kavin is Zasser and Kola Terakula. Could be the whole din of Rabbi Yehuda is only with the Rabbanon. You got to look in that Ara de Rabbanon, that little sefer by the Al-Ghazi. He lists off all the Kola Terakula alphabetically, and he tells you whether it's Deraisa de Rabbanon. So we should look on the Dovish Einim is Kavin. What does he say? Does he quote such a shita? That Dovish Einim is Kavin, it's hard to know if he's going to quote because it's Shalai Kalacha. He passed like Rab Shimon, Dovish Einim is Kavin is Mutter. I want to know within Rab Yehuda, who holds Dovish Einim is Kavin is Osir, in Kola Terakula, so Tosfos says Kola Terakula is Osir, not Terah, Shabbos is Osir, the Rabbanon, so Tovkosov is lacking, Lach Moshevis. Is there any Rishon who says, is it Nikan Leyomer that Rashi sounds like he's saying, that Dovish Einim is Kavin is never Deraisa, leave Rab Yehuda? It's always only with the Rabbanon. Could be. Rabbi Kivega did not understand the Rashi like that. That's Rabbi Kivega equated with the Tosfos before him, and Malach on the base. But it could be that that's where Rashi is driving. Anyway, this is how Rashi translates the words that are repeated four times over here. Dilma lefituma, ragdarsa lefituma, nachash darsa lefituma, akudarsa lefituma. All the four times Rashi lefituma means Dovish Einim is Kavin. So the Ran in the back quotes the Ramban and the Rashbo, the Magen Mishnah quotes the Magen Mishnah, the, according to the storybooks, Magen Mishnah and the Ran learn for Chavrusa. So that's why whenever the Magen Mishnah says Yeshomrim, he's referring to the Ran. Whenever the Ran says Yeshomrim, he's referring to the Magen Mishnah. Anyway, over here they both quote, they don't quote each other, they both quote the Rashbo and the Ramban. That they're not happy with this Rash, because the next Gemara doesn't read straight. The Gemara says, somebody owed $1 million to the Reish Galusa. So he sent the Reish Galusa, wanted to collect his money. So he sent a couple of gangsters, and they were giving the guy a hard time. So there was a little rook, it was on Shabbos. What did he send his policeman on Shabbos for? I don't know. Reish Galusa was a religious fellow. Strange story, okay. So he sent his men on Shabbos to give this this person a hard time. Who was it over here? Abba Bar Minyami. Okay. So there was a little roke on the floor. So the Reish Galusa with his guys was so uncomfortable. Someone spit on the floor. From the Erev Shabbos or whatever. Someone had spit on the floor. And it was very annoying why there was a roke on the floor. So he said, I see manas chifo ilave. He tells his hooligan friends, take a kli and put it on top of the roke. It bothers me. I don't like to see the saliva on the floor. So the guy whom they're jostling over here, the guy whom they're beating up, he says, according to Allah, it's not necessary because rok dorsa lefituma, they're beating him up. He says, Allah says, I rok dorsa lefituma. So the Reish Galusa says, oh, the guy's a ben terah. So leave him alone. Don't beat him up. So what do you mean? If rok dorsa lefituma, if the pshat is lay, Rashi said, that Dovish Einim is Kavin is Mutter. Dovish Einim is Kavin is Mutter because Rabbi Yehuda himself says Dovish Einim is Kavin is also Zonu with the Rabbanon. So B'moka Mazikim is Mutter, and by Rok Dorsa Lefitumoy is Mutter because it's annoying, because it looks awful to have a Rok laying around. So you're allowed to walk, there, and you can and you don't have to be worried about the Dovish Einim is Kavin. So what did the fellow say? The Reish Galusa says, hey, it's very annoying, there's rock on the floor. So he tells some of his chaverim, the police that he brought with him, please take a kli and cover over the rock. So the other Talmud Chacham says, it's not necessary to cover the rock, it can be dorsa lefituma. Dorsa lefituma, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Dorsa lefituma means dovish einim is kavin, not that you're doing it on purpose. So how does he say, I have an easier solution? Why do you have to go get a kli or a beged, money? Why do you need a kli to cover the rock? I have an easy solution. Dorsa lefituma. Dorsa lefituma means if you're walking from here to here and it happens to be rock in the way, you know, you have to put your head down to keep on walking to the right, to the left. Just look straight ahead and ignore what's on the ground. So you may or may not solve the problem of the rock, but you can't solve the problem b'mezid of b'miskaven. If you want to solve the problem b'mezid of b'miskaven, you got to put a kli on. So that's what Dorsa lefituma is on Rashi. According to the way Rashi translates lefituma, so how does the Talmud Chacham say, I got an easier solution for you? How is that going to be a solution?
Maybe what was bothering him was not that the rope was on the floor. Maybe he was just worried that he might be over if he walks past it. And so the response was, if you walk past it, it's not a problem. You don't have to cover it.
Uh-huh. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, but the Rishayna didn't understand like that. It's a new interpretation. He's there. Azat from a Rishkalus. They weren't known to be such medakta kinemits. Okay. So the Rishayim understood differently. They say darsa lefitumoi means you make it look like an accident. But we had a discussion about harama. We had a few gemaras that once in a while we permit harama for a tzurvim in the rabbanon. We would permit harama. So that's what he says. That's what the Ramban and the Rashban, the Magen Mishnah and the Ran, that's how they all learn. The three members, Rok, Dorsa, Lefitumai, Nochesh, Dorsa, Lefituma, Akrob, Dorsa, Lefituma. He's really doing a malacha. Which malacha? Netilas Neshama by the Nochesh and by the Akrob. Possibility he's going to kill the Nochesh and the Akrob. And the Rok is doing, possibly, he's doing a real malacha of Mashva Gumais. But it's only midirabbanon. Why? Let's say by the akrov and by the nochesh kinein tzricha legufa. By the rope that he's doing the mashva gumos, maybe it's kalachayat. That's not the normal way to do it. Maybe it's kalachayat. So you're only dealing with the midirabbanon anyway. So that's what these three amoraim say. That if he's probably means if they don't explain. If he's a tzurvim midirabbanon, then we allow because that's the gemara that we have. If the man or the woman is a tzurvim of the rabban, a reishis chaver, then we permit them to violate an isa the rabbanon as long as they make it look like an accident. And that's what it means, lefi tumah, you make it look like an accident. And that's when he said, hey, the guy's a tzurvim of the rabbanon, because that heter is only for tzurvim of the rabbanon. The Pashim Shantin Gemara, how did he see the tzurvim rabbanon? He's quoting Homer Rav Yudah, he's quoting his rebbe. I heard from Rav Yudah, they broke dorsa lefi tumah. But according to this pshat, So the Reish Galus exclaims, "Tzurvim Rabbanon Hu Shafku." What it means is, if this guy's prepared to use that headset, we Balabatim never heard of that headset. We know it's Asa. You're not allowed to. This guy says, if you make it look like an accident, you're allowed to. Those kind of coolers are only for Tzurvim and the Rabbanon. For the Hamoinam, that's not a good cooler. So that's the alternate shot. That's what the Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam also learns like that. So the Rambam quotes the Loshon HaGemara verbatim. It doesn't sound like Rashi saying that Dov Shenim is Kabin and Mutter. The Rambam already said in other places Dov Shenim is Kabin and Mutter. Why does he change the Loshon over here? Rok Doros HaLifi Tumah. In the Amoraim, you can say each one had his own way of expressing the same thing. Most of the Amoraim called the Dov Shenim is Kabin, and these Amoraim called it Lifi Tumah. But the Rambam should write one style of terminology for all the cases. Every case of Dov Shenim is Kabin, say Dov Shenim is Kabin is Mutter. Over here, he doesn't write Dov Shenim is Kabin Mutter. He writes Dorsa Lefi Tumah. So it sounds from the Rambam that he's really doing it on purpose. It's not Dov Shenim is Kabin. It's Dov Ham is Kabin. But because it's only the Rabbanon to begin with, so that's why you say that for a tzurvim of the Rabbanon, you're permitted to do haram. As long as it looks like it's an accident, then it's Mutter. Ham, a chudish dik and pshat. That's the Ran on the Rif and the Magen Mishnah in the name of the Rashbo and the Ramban. That was their pshat in the Gemara.
What's this mila of Darsa Lefim Tuma? It's only Osim Garabonis, so it's another Garabonis. It's Kilakayad, whatever it is. What is this mila? Why does it become what?
That's what we discussed. If you have something, if something is a malacha mid the rabbanon, so lechora, was it help if you make it look like an accident? It doesn't. But if the thing is only a gzeira, it means that even mid the rabbanon, they didn't really want to say that this is an issa. This is really muta, but the chachamim are telling you, you better not do that because that's going to lead to that. But if it's a talmud chacham, I know what's us, I know what's muta. So this is really muta. Even the rabbanon, this is muta. They just said, you better not do it because it's going to lead to that. So if you say for every Talmud Chacham knows the din, we're allowed to violate it, because I'm going to know not to lead to that. For the Hamoy Nam, they're not allowed to do it because they'll get confused. They can't allow the Talmud Chacham to do it either. It will be misleading for the Balabat. But if Talmud Chacham does it and he makes it look like an accident, and he knows the Asur and the Mutter, he knows what's Asur, what's Mutter. So then we allow Haram on these kind of Dirabban.
It's only
that's the
Lechayre. Mm-hmm. the other mices before Yosef Kushoner was not talking about Sumer Rabbanan?
That's the question. That maybe that's what it means. Omalahud, the Reish Galusa said, oh, the guy's a Tzuvim Rabbanon, so Shavku. Where did he see the Tzuvim Rabbanon? Because he knew how to say over a member in the name of Rabbi Yudit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the problem. Okay. The other Gemara is, the Gemara in Beitza, and the other Gemara that we had, later in Shabbos, they say that it's only mutter for Tzuvim Rabbanon to do a haroma. So the way they run and all of these Rishonim are learning Pshat, and the Chorus should be restricted only for Tzuvim Rabbanon. So that's why I suggest, maybe that's what the next line means. Oh, Tzuvim Rabbanon, who shavku? Obviously the guy's a Tzuvim Rabbanon, because he's talking about using such a hetta. But you're right, it doesn't say it in the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't say it in the Rambam. You're adding on a lot to say that the hefter is restricted to Tzuvim Rabbanon. I don't know. It's the Ramban and the Rashbam.
They're both
just not only part of
the both
of the Machshavas.
So two
Eine Machshavas
is better than one.
He considers it a Shavuot. What? A Shavuot is the Shavuot from Makam Torah Gadol. How does the Ran explain it? Yeah, the Ran is on page 90. There are some Tzitzimah quotes. Rashi doesn't like it. Showing. So he says, Elohachi Perusha. It's in the Ran on page 90, a line above the brackets that says Bedaf Tzadik Gimel. Six lines from the bottom of the Ran. The line above the brackets of Bedaf Tzadik Gimel says, Elohachi Perusha. So it's Afilu B'miskaven. He does it on purpose. Of Shehoos Elefitum Marat M'kila in the Miskaven. He makes it look like an accident. Elohachi Shori Kereb Shimon. Why is it Mutter? Why is it Mutter? Kereb Shimon. The Yama Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa. So what does it got to do with Reb Shimon? The Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa is only a Gzeira, it's not a Malacha. So if you have a Malacha Mid Rabbanon, how can you say that Tzuvim Mid Rabbanon should be Mutter? It's a Malacha Mid Rabbanon. What's the head? So it only makes sense if you say it's a Gzeira. But that's what he means, that according to Reb Shimon, that every Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa is Mutter Min HaTorah, it's only awesome with the Rabbanon, so it's awesome with the Rabbanon, only with the Torah Zeru. It's not awesome with the Rabbanon, with the Torah Malach. Maybe. He doesn't say it's a trade, the Rabbanon. And Marat, Mekilo, Ein, and Miskale, that's only Mutter for Tzuvim Rabbanon. That's what the other Gemara says. It's only Mutter for Tzuvim Rabbanon. It's missing in our Gemara. Missing in the Shulchan Aruch. Missing in the Rambam never says only Tzuvim Rabbanon. I don't know. Quite a problem. Yesterday we were discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah considered, not the Mishnah, the Gemara and Daf Mem Gimel that Rashi refers you to, the Sugya of Rabbi Yitzchok. The Gemara considers the Korah, the beams of the house, as a Dvar Mukta. Why the beams Mukta? They're attached to the house. You can't move them anyway. What's the relevance of saying that the beams are Mukta? The relevance we know. That's a clean nickel, slow self around nickel. Fine. But why? Why should a beam in a house be? Why do we declare it as mukta? So we said that there are only four things that are not considered mukta. Adam, Mikael, Malcolm, and Mashkin. So if you have something that you never move, the beams you never move. So it's a dover shein bo hishtamsha. So it doesn't fall under the category of a kli. So if it's not a kli, it's Eidem HaKabal Tumah, because it's not Odom HaKelem Ochlem or Mashkim, it's not a kli because it's never handled, so then it's going to be considered Mukta. So that's what the Gemara, and we mentioned the Magen Avraham talks about something hanging on the wall. I have a mirror hanging on the wall, I have pictures hanging on the wall. Not that I take it down every week to show the guests the pictures. Something. No, it hangs there forever and ever, hangs there. Once in a while, twice a year, we take down the clock in order to change the time. Once in a long while, the painting falls down, so we put it back up again. But basically, we never metaltal it. So if you have a kli, have a clock. The clock has a hishtamshus. I always look at the clock to see what time it is. But that doesn't count, that doesn't qualify as a hishtamshus in Hilchas Muktzeh. to declare that the clock should not be mukse. I use the clock without handling it. The only way to declare that it's a kli maise that's not mukse is if I'm mishtamish in the clock by handling it. The clothing I put on all the time, and a sefer I use like this, and whatever hangs on the wall, I never handle it, so that's going to be mukse. That's what the Gemara has now. Amar Baba Bar Kana, Amar Rav Chanina. Rashi says they're quoting all these members because Dora Baba Bar Kana. So they quote all the collection of members of Rav Baba Bar Kana. So he makes the statement: Pamutu Shal Beis Rebbe, the lanterns in the big yeshiva, Rebbe's yeshiva, Mutu LeTaltal on B'Shabbes. Means it's only a kli shemalach tali yisur. It's not mukta mamish. It's not muktzamamish. Mutal letaltal on b'shabbos. If they lantern, if they lit in the lantern on erev Shabbos, so it's a basis l'davar ha'aser. And even after the flame goes out, that's a machlokes, and we pass in the end of the mesifta that it's aser. Migunis katzayde ben hashmashes, it remains basis l'davar ha'aser throughout the whole Shabbos. Let's say pamutu shal beis rabbi shalai hidliku behem b'shabbos. It never became a basis m'bod yom. So what's the status of the pamutu? So it's a klisha malach talis. It's not going to be muktzah. It'll only be muktzah if it's a basis to the shalheves. So it's a kalisha malach talis. So he says, muta the talklam b'shabbos vaseis, means l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch m'kayma. It's muta to move with l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch m'kayma. So the Gemara wants to know, Amalei Reb Zeira, he asked them a question, how gigantic a lantern are you talking about? Is it b'nitolim b'yodo achas or b'shtei adayim? Are you only talking about a lamp that you can carry in one hand? Let's say the lamps that we have. You can carry the whole lamp in one hand. It's not so heavy. But you're talking about such a heavy, heavy lamp that you need two hands to carry. And basically, you never move it. Usually, it sits in one place. All week long, you never move it. In a lot of homes, you have lamps in the living room. And they stand there forever and ever. You know, you don't move it around all week long. You hardly ever move it. So it depends how heavy the lamp is. If it's a light lamp, so you move it a lot. So then it'll only be when the bulb will be on. Maybe we'll say it's a basis l'davar ha'aser. If the bulb is on, bulb is not on, maybe it's only a klisha malach taliyisa. Maybe it's only a klisha malach taliyisa. So the Gemara says, what's the din? If it's in tolim shtei adayim, what's the din? Amalei, no, I'm talking kosim shel beis avicha. The small ones, the small lamps. If you have a gigantic lamp that you cannot carry in one hand, you need two hands, then all week long you're not going to move it around. So that's going to be considered muktzah. Like the paintings on the wall that you never move around, like the clock that you never move. If you have a thing, as a shtamshes, we always put a candle on top, or we always turn on the bulb, and it always illuminates the room. But that's not called hishtamshes. Hishtamshes that cancels the status of muktzah, removes it. And the category of muktzah is a hishtamshes beguf adomer, when you handle it. So he says, no, I'm talking koshen shalbei tzavicha, like in your parents' home. They have the lamps that you hold in one hand. If you have a lamp that you have to have ktanas, now she says. Avogdolus adam kaber lehem, or can be let it stand in one spot. You don't move it around. You don't move it around. So that's considered like muktzah. There's such a din, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's such a din in Tumah also, because the Gemara in the first daf in Kol HaKelim, the next daf, Kuf Chav Gimel Amin Aleph, sort of Kemat says explicitly that the whole institution of Muktzah in the Rabbanon was patterned, the determination of what Muktzah was not, was patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah Tumah. You have the four categories, other Mikael, Mochum, and Mashkema, and Kabbalah Tumah, so that's not junk. Anything other than those four categories is junk. So it was junk anyway, so why should you be allowed to handle it? Really, they don't want us to handle anything on Shabbos. If you'll allow people to handle things around the house, they'll carry it out into the street. But they didn't want to make Shabbos impossible. They didn't want to make you miserable on Shabbos. So whatever has a hishtamshes, whatever is a value and has hishtamshes, and it's important to handle, for that they didn't declare it as muktzah. Whatever is junk anyway. So what do you need it? You never use it all week long. Eitzma Bonavi offers a piece of junk. So then they said, you're not allowed to handle it at all on Shabbos. Gzeira Shemayotzi. So by Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that by Kabbalah Tumah, sometimes we determine whether something is a kli, it's mekabel tumah, or it's not a kli, and it's not mekabel tumah. So sometimes you have a din, if you have a kli tabo b'mida, if you have a wooden kli that's machzik yosem imem so. We discussed it when we spoke about binyan mekelim. So the Ramah quoted the Ozarua, that even if you hold that there's no binyan mekelim, but if the kli is a kli godless, machzik mem so, then the Ozarua says that it has a din like a binyan. Then it's not considered a kli, because in Kabbalah's Tumah, kli yetz abov midah, Kliyetz, the Gemara calls it Kliyetz Ha'osui Le'Nachez. It's so gigantic in Aron Kodesh. Usually it sits in one spot, you don't move it around. The Chevek Kaddish Aron Kodesh is very small, light, but a big, heavy Aron Kodesh in the base medrash. And the Shul usually stays in one place. So that's an example. The Gemara Megillah gives an Aron Kodesh in Shul, that's an example of a Kliyetz Ha'osui Le'Nachez. But the Halacha says that it's not Mekabel Tuma. Why is it not Mekabel Tuma? It's not called the Kli. It's not called the Kli because you never move it around. So along those lines, that happens that it only applies to kliyets, wooden kelim. If it would be metal kli, even if no, it's also the nachas, it would be mekabel tuma. But here the Gemara says they carried over that din to Hilchas Muktzah, because all the dinim of Muktzah were patterned melechatchila after the dinim of Kabbalah tuma. So that's what the Gemara says. If it's a kli gadol that you need shtei adayim in order to move it, adam kaveh lehem makom, so that's considered Muktzah. That's not considered a kli sheyesh bo hishtamshus. Hishtamshus has to be by handling it around. The Gemara has such a similar din. What about Kronoshel Beis Rebbe? Mutal Taltal Amshavs. Kronoshel Beis Rebbe, Rashi says, Asuyas Libinei Adam. A wagon that you pull people in. A horse pulls people in a wagon. Or the Chinese have, no, the Japanese, the Chinese, they have a rickshaw or something that people carry other people. The days of the Gemara, they used to have these rickshaws. So if you have a Kronosh al Beis Rebbe, Mutal Taltal on B'Shabbos. So the question is, well, how big is the Koron? Sometimes the wagon is going to be so gigantic, I'm going to declare that it's like a Kliyetz Asir L'Naches. So he asks him, how big, B'nin Tolib M'var HaMechor or B'Shnei B'Diyar? Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about a wagon that one person can carry on his own? Are you talking about a wagon that you need two people to carry because it's so gigantic? So he says, like in your parents' home, the small ones. I'm not talking about the big ones. If it's too big, then it's kaveh lehemokam, and it's considered a dovah shein bo hishtamshus, because you don't move it around. You don't move it around. It's not called a kli. So we finished all there is to know in the name of Baba Bakan Hilchos Shabbos, but he has one more memory. There has nothing to do with Shabbos, but we may as well bump him off. This Rabbi Bakana, we've quoted everything that he has to say, Rashi says. So now Rashi writes, Mishum Dai Rabbi Bakana Liel, Gadi Nochosh, Nochat Kol Hani Mishmei. The Gemara is going to quote everything that they ever heard from Rabbi Bakana and finish him off. So the last thing has nothing to do with Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Bakana, Hitalem Rab Chanina Lebeis Rebbe, Lishtas Yai Mikronoshon Nochri, Bechoysem Echor. He remembers a psak. Rav Chanina permitted the children of Rebbe, Beis Rebbe, his family, to drink wine in the Kronosh al Anochrim based on the simon of Kloisim Echot. We don't pass like that. Normally, the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that there are certain things that need two chaisomis. You need chaisom and two chaisom to make sure that the Nochri is not mzayif, that he didn't take the Jewish product and replace it with a different product. So we usually assume that to identify kosher wine as the same wine that I left there has to be chaysim and toy chaysim. Chaysim echa means that it's difficult to be mezayifet. Chaysim toy chaysim means that it's even more difficult to be mezayifet. It doesn't have to be chaysim as a lock, and doesn't have to be chaysim as signatures. It just means some kind of a simon that makes it kosher miod lezayif. So we paskin that yayin, and basar, and dogim is one of the few things that needs a chaysim and toy chaysim. And this, and the Gemara says, Rav Chanina allowed them to drink b'chaisim echot, but Rabbi Abba Bakan is not sure what the heter was based on. Is it because he disagrees with the Psaka Mekubal? We hold l'alocha that you always drink chaisim and terchaisim on yayin and basar and dog. Or is it because a special case? Imishim Savalak Rab Lezer, he's mekel, chaisim echot is enough, and we don't hold like him. Or maybe it's a different reason. Imishim Emsa de Beinasiya. Maybe Kosher Beis Rebbe, they're not going to mess around with the wine that's from the Nasi. The Nasi can put them in jail. So maybe that's the equivalent of Shnei Chosam. It's Chosam Echor, and you're dealing with the Nasi. Maybe that's the equivalent of Shnei Chosam. Okay. You have in Shulchan Aruch cases like that. Let's say someone's passing by the border, and the guy in charge of the tax says, the Nochri in charge of the tax says, he's going to confiscate all the wine over here. And I'm driving a wagon full of barrels of wine. I have no chaisamas on the wine. They're closed. The barrels are closed. They're not sealed tight at all. I'm a Jewish person. I have Jewish workers. We're all Jewish. I'm bringing the wine from Poland to whatever, to the next country. And then they confiscate all the wine at the border, and they say, come back tomorrow afternoon and we're going to have to decide how much tax we're going to charge you. I come back tomorrow afternoon. How do I know what they did? Maybe they opened up all the barrels and had themselves a good party, and then they poured in water, and maybe they poured in their tray for wine in order to fill it up. You don't know what they did. So the boss can say, what are you talking about? If they're going to get caught messing around at the tax, the government will put them in jail. So sometimes there are cases, that's like the Gemara says, you don't always need chosim to chosim. If you know the Zemus of the Bein Asiyah, they're not going to mess around with the Nazi's wine, or the guy in the tax booth is not going to start sipping everybody's wine, or someone's going to mass him to the government, they're going to put him in jail. So then you know that he didn't tamper with the thing. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You have to figure out in each case how strong is the umdana that he didn't tamper with the wine. So what did we learn? Just to review again, that there is a topic of Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So if a person either is tzad or a person is horeg, a mazikim, and he's not going to use them, so the tzed is ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, and the shochet is ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa. So ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa machlokes hatanai. So if you hold like Reb Yehuda that ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa is an Issa Deraisa, you gotta be very careful not to violate an Issa Deraisa. If you, the whole thing that you're dealing with, so then the only hat that you would have would be mamash a suffix sakona, fake of a sakona. So that's a shalom. Rashi and Taisvis over here, Baratz Machra, where exactly is there a suffix sakona? Which case? Rashi says any case of mazik and Baratz Machra is a suffix sakona. And Taisvis says mehecha Taisvis, what a mosquito? A mosquito is a suffix sakona. It's Baratz Machra. That's not gonna. Rashi doesn't. Rashi the whole is not talking about mosquitoes. Okay, that's not called mazikin. Okay, so that's if you all like rebuta. The only hat that you're gonna have to kill or to trap one of these animals is going to be if there's a suffix sakana, and then it's a question, you got to work out the details, Rashi and Taisus, when, which case is there a suffix sakana, which case not. But if you hold like Reb Shimon, that ain't Tzvicha L'Guf is only the Rabbana to begin with, then there's a little more room to be lenient, because B'makam Chayla L'Gaz B'Rabbana. Where do we have that? That a Malach Hashem Tzvicha L'Guf or B'makam Chayla L'Gaz B'Rabbana. We had it by Mafis Mursa. We had it by Mafis Mursa, no? It's a Pesach, which is not Osi, Lahachnis or Lahotzi. Theoretically, if you would want to use it, Lahachnis or Lahotzi, it would have been a Pesach deraisa. But it's not Osi, Lahachnis or Lahotzi here. Mafis Mursa was Kuf Zainam and Aleph, the end of Perka Oreg. So the Gemara quoted the Mishnah from Medius. Mafis Mursa, in Lasis Lapeh, that's a Pesach, has a Lahachnis or Lahotzi Chayim. Then you chayv mishum oisah pesach. Oisah pesach is either bone or makam bapatish. Rashi wrote the two pshatim. The Rishonim had the two pshatim. And the hotzim men alech or pater, because that's an ein tzvicha legufa. The Gemara says normally pater means pater avalasur, and normally ein tzvicha legufa is at least awesome. The rabbanim here it's pater amuter. So why does it all of a sudden become pater amuter? So it says lekamon ba'omet base. On the side it says lekamon. Usually they don't tell you amar makam. You know that? You ever noticed that? Usually in the Masoros HaShas, he only gives that marmokim to another daf or another mesichta. But if it's on the same daf on a mitzvah, on an aleph, usually it's not mitzayin. So sometimes you'll break your head. Where is this memory? It's not kodesh, it's on the same daf. It's at the end of the daf on a mitzvah, so he's not going to give you. Here he did you a favor, he writes l'kama on a mitzvah. Usually he doesn't write like that. So on kuf zayin, on a mitzvah, the Gemara says the reason why the maf is mursa is mursa because it's ain't tzvicha l'gufa, of a makam chayla l'goz b'rabot. So that's what the Gemara is saying, something similar over here. That the mazikim, the tzedas ha-mazikim, the harigas ha-mazikim, is ain't tzvicha l'gufa, so b'makam chol l'gaz b'rabban. That's the problem with the Rambam. The Rambam paskins that ain't tzvicha l'gufa is an issa deraisa, and he still quotes all the heterim here. So that's what the Kesher Mishnah quotes the Ramach as that kasha. That's the same kasha over there. The same kasha over there, the same repeat. The Rambam Paskin Zayn Tzvicha L'Gufa and Issa Deraisa. So how does he quote the Heter of Mafis Mursa? If the Gemara says over there, on Omid Beis, Kuzayim Beis, that is based on Reb Shimon, Zayn Tzvicha L'Gufa, there on Paskin like Reb Yudah. That was the Bahag's Kasha. This is an Alta Kasha. Bahag is that Kasha. And Av Gimel Amin Aleph, so this is called Hiksha Bahag, this Kasha. Hiksha Bahag here, at Tzad Nachosh. And Gimel Amin Aleph says the Maskal at Tzad Nachosh. So the Chaim has a very strange answer in his sefer. He said, Ovid, the standard territory, like Kevin's Mishnah is a long territory. He says that only by Ovis, by told us the Rambam is maskim, the Rein Tzvicha Lugufa is only the Rabban. That's why Rambam, that was 15 kashas on 15 Rambam. Whatever, that's a famous rare Rambam. So the Ramach, he has the kasha on this Rambam. Because Mishnah quotes the Ramach, he has the kasha on this Rambam also. The Gemara says that he's heterim, if it's Ratzim, Acharav, it's a suffix hakana. So that's Zichem Mutta, look all this. And even if it's not Ratzim, Acharav, it's Mutta because Chol Hashem is hakana. Thanks, Zichel Guf, Chol Hashem is hakana. So that's the Kesh Mishnah quotes the Ramach, who asks, how does the Rambam quote the Heter if the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yudah, that ain't Zichel Guf, is there right? Then we had the Gemara about Rok Darsa Lefituma, Nochesh Darsa Lefituma, and Akrob Darsa Lefituma. So Rashi translates the word Darsa Lefituma, means Dov Hashem Miskavin Mutta. Rashi pushes that it's even Mutta Libet Rabbi Yudah, because the Rabbi Yudah holds Dov Hashem Miskavin is only awesome in the Rabbanim. So I'm not sure exactly what he means, like Rabbi Kivega said, he means like the Taisus Samim Aleph, or it means the whole Rabbi Yudah Shita. That means Rabbi Yudah Bechlal is only the Rabban. Maybe in Kol HaTarkul it's only the Rabban. What did Rashi need it for? What didn't he just say? We pass like Rabbi Shimon. Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutta. And then the problem, how does Rashi read it into the Sugya? The Pashup Shat in the Sugya is that this Amoira told the gangsters from the Reish Galusa, I have a better solution for you. Why should you have to put a beggar there, mana, a beggar there, a kli? I'll do a darsa lefituma. What do you mean? I'll do a darsa lefituma. Darsa lefituma means you walk there. Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutta. But how can he know in advance that he's going to solve the problem? So that's what prompted the other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashbon, the Magid Mishnah, and the Ran, to learn not like Rashi. They say he does it the mezid of Miskavin, but that's what the phrase lefituma means. He make it look like an accident. So that's what we call haramah. That's what we usually say is only Mutta for Tzur from Rabban. So that's the problem, that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't restrict it only for Tzur from the Rabban. Okay. Let's see. The next Mishnah we learned already more than once. No, you're not permitted to ask an Ochi to do a malacha that we just had. You're not permitted to ask an Ochi to do a malacha. And even if the Nachri did the malacha on his own, you're also not allowed to be nana from it. Unless he did it for his, unless he lit the nair for his own purposes. Akim shasam malacha b'shvil Yisrael, also l'Yisraeli honest memenu. Akim shasam malacha b'shvil akum, b'shvil atma, b'shvil akum, muta l'Yisrael, l'honest memenu. Nachi shidlik saner, for himself, mishtamish l'yar Yisrael, the son may use it after him. Then b'shvil Yisrael, if he did it on behalf of Yisrael, even though Yisrael didn't ask him to do it, I didn't ask him to do it, he does on his own, also. Why is it also l'honest? The Taisa says if we'll allow the Israel to have Hanoi from the Malacha that the Nochri did, then we're afraid that next time he'll go ahead and ask the Nochri to do the Malacha, because the Yisra Amir and the Nochri was never too strong, it was always Shvach. People think that there is no such Issa. Well, most people never heard of the Issa Amir and Nachri. They think whenever you have a problem, just call in a Shabbos Goy. You're allowed to ask the Goy to do whatever you want. So Taisus knew that it was always weak and it was always Shvach. So that's why they read into the Mishnah. Not only are you not permitted to ask the Nachri to do the Malacha, even if he did it on his own Mishvil Yisrael, you're not allowed to get on Noe, because if you'll permit people to get on Noe, then they're going to make believe that the Nachri did it on his own. I didn't ask him to put on this innocent look. The Nachri did it on his own. And they really asked him to do it, but as long as people don't know that I asked him, so I'll get away with it. So they said, Adin Midir Rabban, you're not even allowed to get on. No, I said, it really is true that the Nachri did it on his own. So then why should I ask the Nachri to do it for me if I won't gain anything out of this? I may as well wait till after Shabbos and do it in a fashion that is permissible if I can't get on Noah anyway. So what's the halacha? Nachri shasa malacha b'shul yisoy, you're not allowed to get on Noah. You have to wait till b'chdei sheyatsu. That's the Gemara in Beitza. You have to wait after Shabbos is over, b'chdei sheyasu. And who's not allowed to get on Noah? Let's say Nachar Shidur Saner, Din Bishvil Yisrael also. Let's say he lit the Nef for his friend. So his friend will not get on Noah. What about another Jew whom the Nachri doesn't even know? Do you say that no one is allowed to get on Noah, or only the one on whose behalf it was done? So there is a Gemara, Taisus quotes, there is a Gemara in Beitza, Din Bishvil Yisrael also. So there is a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chafei, where the Gemara says, if somebody brought something, Michutz L'Tchum, a Nachri, brought something, Michutz L'Tchum, Abba Bishvil Yisrael Zeh, whatever was brought Michutz Latum on behalf of Yaakov, Mutal Yisrael Lacha, Reuven is allowed to eat it. If it was brought for Shimon, so Yaakov is allowed to eat it. Only his Osir, if the Nachri did an Isir, not a Malacha, to take something Michutz Latum to an Isir. The Nachri is allowed to do whatever he wants, but the Jew is not allowed to take Michutz Latum. So if the Nachri brings something Michutz Latum on behalf of Yisrael Pliny, it's Osir for that Yisrael. So what's the din by the Nachri Shehidlikasaner Bishvil Yisrael Asur, only Asa Yisrael, or Asa all Jews are not allowed to get on Noah? So Taisa says no, all Jews are not allowed to get on Noah. In that case, in Beitza is an exception to the rule. Abob Michutz Latchum, Abob Bishvil Yisrael Zamutal Yisrael Lach, that's an exception to the rule. Why should that be an exception to the rule? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that's a Machlekes HaRishayim, Taisus and Neran. So Taisus here and in other places in Ervin, Taisus says the reason why it's an exception to the rule because we assume that Tchumen is Lav Deraisa. All Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. So whenever the Nachri violated Nisa Deraisa, it's also for all Jews to get on Noah from it. The Nachri only violated the Nisa Tchumen or any other Nisa the Rabbanon, but it's only also for that Yisrael to get on Noah, and it's Muta for the other Yisraelim to get on Noah. Then the Gemara seems to have another distinction that in Beitza and that Zav and Daf Chof Dalet Chofei, the Gemara says you always have to wait B'chdei Sheyatzu, and then by Habo B'shul Yisrael Mutal Yisrael Acher, it says you just wait till after Yontav is over, and it sounds like you don't even need B'chdei Sheyatzu. So Taisa says that's correct. There are two differences between the instance where the Nachri did a Melacha Deraisa as opposed to the Nachri doing a Melacha Derabban. Whenever he violates a Melacha Deraisa on behalf of the Yisrael, I didn't even ask him for it. He does it on his own. If the Yisrael that he violated was an Yisrael Deraisa, it's also L'chol Yisrael. Nira Dasa L'chol Yisrael. And you have to wait B'chdei Sheyatzu. But if the Yisrael that the Nachri violated is Tchumen, or for that matter any other Yisrael Derabbanon, then you have two Heterim, two Kulas. Kula number one, it's only also the Mishan Asa B'Shvilo. Above Shul Yisrael Zal Mutal Yisrael Acher. And number two, you don't have to wait B'chdei Sheyatzu because it's only an Issa D'Rabbanon. That's how Taisus learned that these are the two kulas between Deraisa and D'Rabbanon. The Ran disagrees, says we don't distinguish between the Deraisa and the D'Rabbanon. By Tchumen is a different story. No two people necessarily have to have the same Tchumen. Chorish, Darea, Koitza, Dosh, Ma'amer, all the Lamites and Lachas, they're all the same for me, for you, and for Gantz Klalis, or all the Malachas are the same. But Tchumen, every person has his own Tchumen. It happens all the people who live in the same city have the same Tchumen Shabbos. Not necessarily so. If you make an Erev. So if I make an Erev at Tchumen, I can go in that direction, I can go in that direction. You didn't make an Erev at Tchumen, you made an Erev at Tchumen in different directions. Could be all the people in the same city have a different Tchumen Shabbos also. So even if no one made an Erev at Tchumen, and everybody's in the same boat, but that's coincidentally, they all happen to be in the same boat. But strictly speaking, each person is an individual when it comes to Tchumen. So that's how the Ran explains. Abo Bishvil Yisrael Zomutal Yisrael Acha. He's talking about Bo Michutz L'Tchum. Tchumen is a personal issue. Each Jew has his own Tchum Shabbos and Tchum Yontif. But it's only Osir for that Jew. For another person, even though he shares the same Tchum, he has nothing. He doesn't share the same Tchum in common with the other person. It happens coincidentally to be the same. The Mishnah draws a distinction between the Nachri Shasa Malacha Bishvil Nachri, that is Yisrael Mishtamish Lioro, or Nachri Shasa Malacha Bishvil Yisrael, that it's also the Shtamish Lioro. What if it wasn't Bishvil Nachri, it wasn't Bishvil Yisrael? Let's say Malacha Shanasis Me'eleha. Lightning, there's a storm, and there's lightning, and a tree falls down, and a tree causes an electric wire to fall, and it triggers a switch, and the light goes on. So am I allowed to sit in the room and read? A malacha occurred in the middle of Shabbos, hadlokas on there. But it wasn't, lightning strikes, and the forest is burning, and I want to learn. And it's late at night, and I have no light. So I hold the safe, and I'm going to learn. Or on there. The whole forest is aflame. So am I permitted to get Hanoah from the Malacha Shanasis Me'eleh? It wasn't Mishvil Noach, it wasn't Mishvil Yisrael. The Taisus, the second Taisus from the top, claims they're right. they claim that in the first sugi and beitza, that beis dav gimel, you see that the first amoraim understand that peres hanoshim and mashkan shazav are two separate gzeres derabbanan. Peres hanoshim is a gemara in psachim daf nun vav. That the Tanoi made a gzeres derabbanan, that peres that fall down from the trees, even though they fell down on their own, on Shabbos Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it. So that's a gzeres and a yalav yitlush. And mashkan shazav is a mishnah later somewhere in Shabbos, that if you have you're not allowed to squeeze that mashkim from a fruit. What if somehow the mashkim squeeze that on their own on Shabbos and Yontif? You're not allowed to squeeze out on Yontif. You're not allowed to squeeze out a fruit. Even though should have been a chol nefesh, the taste is explained quite smart. So the Gemara says in the Mishnah says later in Shabbos the mashkim shezovu mealeim is aser midirabbanan. It's aser to drink. And the Gemara says in Sochem anduf daf nun vav that peres hanoshim is aser midirabbanan to eat. So Taisus quotes from the Gemara in the first parak in Beit Tadav Gimel that that's a sepik zera mashkin shazav, a sepik zera peres hanoshim, and it doesn't apply to any other malach. Why a person get shepet davka on these? Why only on these? So Taisus said because mishum nesito tlisha akalim lasa, it's very easy to do it. Odom lo tachrein, people enjoy drinking fresh orange juice, and it's easy to squeeze that orange juice. If it would take an hour to squeeze out an orange, so then by the time the guy's going to be in the middle of the melacha, he's going to remind himself not to do the melacha. But you can do it 1, 2, 3. And it's Adam Lo Tachrein. People enjoy orange juice, fresh orange juice. Same thing plucking off a fruit from the tree. It's very easy to do. And people enjoy fresh fruits. So since it's an easy, very light melacha to do, so even if it's a melacha shenasus melech, you're not allowed to get on. But only those two cases doesn't apply any other case. That's how Taisus holds. The Ramban in Beitza, there is a Mishnah Beitza that said that if you set up traps to catch fish on Erev Yontif, so then you come on Yontif, you see that fish got caught, so the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat those fish unless you know bevadai that they were caught on Erev Yontif. What's a tragedy if the fish got caught on Yontif? Why are you not permitted to eat them? So the Ramban says because peres hanoshim, mashkin shezavu. Ramban says it's a general klal. It's not a separate gzeir about peres hanoshim, a separate gzeir mashkin shezavu. That's the first mandarmim in Beitza, all the fairies like Taisa said. That's a separate gzeir there, and the separate gzeir there, it doesn't apply anywhere else, and you can't make a tzara shavu. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says no, that the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, in the third parak in Beitza about the fishing on Yontif, that it says if the fish got caught on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat them. So he says the pasha pshat is because a malacha shenachas meilecha, you're not allowed to get anor. If the malacha was nachas b'shulakim, then you're allowed to get anor. But if the malacha was nachas meilecha, it's also asa to get anor. Malacha shenachas meilecha, you're not allowed to get anor. Yeah, how does Taisus read that Mishnah? According to Taisus, that it's only a gzera mashkin shezov peres hanoshim. So why does the Mishnah say if the fish got caught in the trap on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it? That's not peres hanoshim. It's not mashkin shezov. So Rashi on the Mishnah says because of muktzah, totally different reason, because it's muktzah, because the fish that is swimming around, you never had any hachone for them. That's a different word. So Ramban quotes Rashi and he says not so convinced that that's the pshat. He thinks that maybe the pshat is that any malacha shenasus meileha is also, you don't need a sepik zera peres hanoshim, a sepik zera mashkin shezov. These are both part of one big zera, and the fish to shenitzodu beyontav are part of the same zera. And it's a sweeping gzera. Any malacha shenasis meileha on Shabbos and Yontif, you're not permitted to get on. No, the only hetter would be on malacha shenasis bishvilakum. That's a matir. Bishvilakum is a matir. But manasis meileha would be an isa.
And the fact that they're trapped on Erev Yontif, so that's like a hachana for the Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had nothing to do with it.
According to Rashi, it's because of muktzah. It's only muktzah if it's loose and free on Erev Yontif. But if it's trapped already, if it's nitzod mibol yom, then Rashi assumes that it's not muktzah. Yeah. He may not know that they're caught. He knows that he set traps. He knows that there's a possibility that some fish got caught. So if he finds out on Yontif that some fish were caught, so those are considered mukhon. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll have to stop here. We got no choice. I have to apologize. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight. So I won't. No Parshas Truma this week. And next week I won't be here, so no Parshas Tetzaveh either. But I plan to come back Sunday morning, Kisisa. So I'd like to finish the Perek when I come back. I'd like to finish the Perek, and then we're going to go to the beginning of Kira. Okay.